just so y'all know, this entire podcast is a spoiler warning. So if you haven't seen any of the movies, stop here.
It's like a week old milk. Jesus.
What's up, guys?
Jake from State Farm. G Money, who's on the track. Every track.
I'm on the
track. And we got a brand new guest, Dill Pickle.
Yo, what's up, dudes?
Dill Pickle is like from the Rugrats?
No. Wrong Jake.
All right, wrong series, my guy. Wrong podcast. That's another time.
Yeah.
All right, today we're going to be talking about the Duel of the Fates. It's going to be like a running series where we pick a good guy and a bad guy from different Star Wars movies. And we determine, you know, is this a, like, just a fun fight scene, or does this have, like, meaning behind it? And if it does, then what is the meaning? So I'm going to let G-Money take it away.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the Duel of the Fates, the lightsaber battle and song from the 1999 movie release, Phantom Menace. In that fight sequence, we have Qui-Gon Jinn, the Jedi Master, and we have Darth Maul, who is basically the Sith assassin of Darth Sidious. And this fight also gives us the Duel of the Fates song, which is easily my second favorite Star Wars song.
Am I the only one who listens to that on the way to work and, like, bops with it? Like,
no, that's me. That's me too. My number one favorite is Across the Stars, love theme.
Is it bad? I know what you're talking about right now. Does that make me too much of a nerd to know all the songs and the names? Okay, good. I sure hope not.
I wrote a whole 500-word discussion post in my music appreciation class about that song.
Why do I not
deep.
Know that?
That's
super deep.
Deep.
So yeah, the two characters we have for this one, Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn. Two very interesting Star Wars characters. We definitely get to see a little bit more of Darth Maul throughout like the Star Wars cinematic universe and what we see on screen versus Qui-Gon Jinn. We don't get a lot of screen time or kind of backstory on him.
Boo.
Yeah, boo. I agree with Jake on that one. Qui-Gon Jinn is such an interesting character.
Yeah.
He was pretty close to completing his training and in his manifestation of the living force before Master Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
As we see in the Clone Wars, he was even the one who showed Yoda how to complete the training so he could show other Jedi how to do it as well, which is super interesting to see. But other than that, we don't get a lot of Qui-Gon Jinn content.
Whereas Darth Maul, we get him in
two shows.
We get him in two shows. He's heavily featured in both the middle seasons of the Clone Wars and in Star Wars Rebels. He makes an appearance in the Solo movie.
He does, yeah.
And I'm really hyped to see what they do after the Solo movie.
I would love to see some more of his crime syndicate.
Oh, yeah. We saw a lot of his crime syndicate, and we know he goes back to that after. Yeah, in the last of Clone Wars, he goes back to that. And so I want to see either something post-Clone Wars or something
live
action. Solo.
Exactly.
I want to see Ray Park Jr. come back and be
reprise his role as Darth Maul,
because he did the motion capture for the Twilight, not the Twilight, the Phantom Apprentice.
Such a good lightsaber fight. One of my favorites. I don't know
what capture
he did with
that. Also, they played Duel of the Fates in that one.
They did. I don't know if you noticed that, but it was
really.
It just added another effect to it.
He actually comes in, you know, when he does in nice his double lightsaber like he did in Episode One. They start playing Duel of Fates. It's slightly modified for a little bit different feel, but it's basically the same motif there.
Right. If you notice too, that fight has so many similarities with the Duel of the Fates in the 1990 release of the Phantom Menace, because in that fight, Darth Maul is also fighting over the fate of a certain character, except this time he's not versing Qui-Gon Jinn, he's versing Ahsoka Tano.
And I want to say it's the same character. I want to point to, on Disney Plus and the gallery, Mandalorian, Dave Filoni's talking with a bunch of people about Star Wars, about the Mandalorian. He goes into about the Duel of the Fates. This really changed the way I see it. He talks about it as the Duel of the Fates is the fate of Anakin Skywalker. Qui-Gon Jinn would have been the father figure for Anakin.
Instead of Palpatine.
Right, so he wouldn't have had Palpatine to lead him to the dark side as father figure. And Obi-Wan was an older brother who always was looking down on him. And the Jedi Council was always uptight about it. Qui-Gon never agreed with the Jedi Council. He always thought they were too strict. They were, you know, not adhering to the will of the Force. And Qui-Gon would have taught Anakin how to use his feelings.
He was a much more Force-oriented Jedi than most of what we see that's canon on screen now.
Right.
You know,
even Yoda was clouded by the dark side and the politics of it all.
Exactly. The politics played a big part, mainly because Yoda was the Grand Master of the Jedi Council, and he was held responsible,
right,
you know, for a lot of, like, the Jedi Council answers.
Everything the Jedi Council did, it went through Mace Windu, and Mace Windu brought everything to Yoda.
And Yoda spoke with Palpatine many times directly face-to-face concerning politics and matters of the Jedi. So Yoda took a lot of the rap of, like, the entire Jedi Order on his shoulders, so politics definitely...
He was... the face of the Jedi Order
for
the galaxy.
Exactly, he was. And that gave him a bad rap when it came to politics. I know Yoda, if he had a choice, he wouldn't be concerned with it. I know, you know, if
but
you look at the character of Yoda, he couldn't care less about the politics, but he kind of had to be, he was forced kind of into that situation.
Right, as the Grand Master and the whole war thing.
Yeah, now back to Qui-Gon Jinn. Qui-Gon Jinn was more of, if Yoda didn't have to be faced with, you know, the politics
of
it all.
Because the Jedi Council actually offered Qui-Gon the seat on the council, and he rejected it because he didn't want to get caught up in the politics.
Right. And yeah, exactly. Which speaks so much like Qui-Gon Jinn, the character part of it we don't get to see. That just kind of adds a whole nother level to his dialogue. If you go back to The Phantom Menace and listen to what he says and how he speaks to other characters in the movie, it kind of adds a whole nother layer of like feel and like depth to his character on top of it.
Right.
He's such an interesting character, and I really wish we could get some more content on Qui-Gon Jinn himself.
I think what we correct me if I'm wrong, but like he had a green lightsaber, right? And that kind of that stands for somebody really strong with the Force.
Yeah,
exactly.
So whenever I see Qui-Gon now, knowing that, I say, well, here is a character that is really strong in the Force, and I see a lot of similarities between him and Ben Kenobi in the in the original trilogy. You know, So maybe we're meant to kind of piece that together, see like how similar is Qui-Gon to Ben, or what roles, in what ways do their roles, you know, come together, or how are they
especially
different?
Once Ben started looking over Luke on Tatooine, I think Ben definitely took on some Qui-Gon characteristics that
he would have
taken on sooner
if
he didn't have to babysit, and for lack of a better term, babysit kind of
Anakin. Because I think that's kind of what they were going for, you know, kind of like George says, it's like poetry, it rhymes. I think Ben Kenobi was what Anakin Skywalker needed instead of Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because Obi-Wan always looked down and said, Anakin's not ready. So I want to hold him back because he's too immature or whatever. And then as he reflected on his mistakes with Anakin, he's like, all right, I want to be more like Qui-Gon when I'm dealing with Luke.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be something really cool to see is Obi-Wan as a Padawan and see how Qui-Gon dealt with, you know, someone like, you know, you grow up in the Jedi Temple, you go through... Let's get real about it for a second. You go through puberty, you grow up in the Jedi Temple around a bunch of other Jedis, and you don't get to really have a real family, so to speak. But you do get to experience like some bonds with your master and other Jedi Knights that you get to fight alongside with and learn from.
Right.
So definitely, like Anakin not having that, especially later on in his life after losing his mom, that kind of messed him up a little bit. And so Obi-Wan really had to, he's kind of on his own. He didn't really have Qui-Gon to kind of help him through it. He kind of had memories of Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
But then again, Anakin is not Obi-Wan, so he had to deal with it in a very different way
than
how he would deal with himself.
Yeah, so like I was thinking, so this goes back to, again, episode one. Yoda says he's too old because he had already, by age nine, he had already had emotional attachments. He had his mom, he had his friends, things that the Jedi took the children when they were young, they wouldn't remember those connections.
Because they consider them weaknesses.
Right, which I still think makes the Jedi kind of not evil but immoral.
I think we spoke about this not on the podcast a little while ago. Is because if you watch like various movies, like not anything in specific, but like the bad guys, they're always like theme is like you can't have any attachments that makes you weak. Whereas the good guys, like if you have friends,
you know,
you have people who love you, support you,
like Disney. If Disney loves friendships, true love, other characters, attachments. How
exactly.
your friendship and your emotional bonds are stronger than evil.
And I think the fact that the Jedi thought of attachments to the physical world and other people. As a weakness, I think that definitely speaks to their character as they grew too powerful in the Force, and they outbalanced. And the Force was definitely out of balance in the prequels. I mean, that's
absolutely
why Anakin became Darth Vader. That's a whole other topic we can go on about later.
Right.
But that definitely speaks kind of like how messed up the Jedi were.
Yeah.
On a sense of like that, they may not every Jedi, like I said, every Jedi may not have been immoral like in themselves, but as a whole, that was definitely something that was immoral. That if you take a step back and look at it as a whole from like the third person point of view, you can kind of see. You know what
that's why we see Qui-Gon, someone related to Qui-Gon, Count Dooku was
Count Dooku was his
master. Yeah, I was thinking apprentice, but I couldn't get master out. So his master left the Jedi Order because of what the Jedi did to him. We kind of see it's kind of representative of what happened to Anakin, too. He had his family that he found out later in his Jedi career, who the Jedi said, okay, you got to stop talking to your family. You got to cut them off. Yeah. Then they went and they this is a whole other story, but basically Count Dooku was trying to warn them of a Force vision someone had seen, saying that a planet was going to be destroyed. And what happens? The Jedi don't get involved. Millions of people die. Count Dooku blames them. He leaves the Order.
You can't blame Dooku either. That's the reason Dooku never had Sith eyes. Let's just kind of just take like 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And just touch on this really quick.
Yeah, that's really good.
So Dooku was much more of a logical Sith, and here's what I mean by that. If you notice, most Sith are fueled by their hatred for the Jedi and their lust for power and things of that nature.
Anger, your hatred.
Exactly, things like that, Dil. But Count Dooku is a very different Sith from what we see. He is much more composed and mature and logical, because he approaches things from a moral standpoint of view. And because the Jedi over time had become so predominant within the Force, like you see, there's more Jedi than the Sith than are in the prequels, like I said just a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely saw that the immoral things that were going on within the Jedi Order and things he didn't agree with, that I kind of consulted with him on that. That's why he left the Jedi Order. And that's why he never had Sith eyes. But he was definitely... And that speaks more to like his power than anything, even though he wasn't fueled by hatred, which is kind of like a quick way to power amongst the Sith. Like, if you hate something more, that gives you more power. But Dooku having the ability to use Force lightning, not being fueled by hatred, really speaks to his abilities within the Force itself,
mm-hmm.
which is something really cool. And I would love to see that Dooku as a Jedi. It would be some really cool stuff to see.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
I think you get to episode 8, right, with the tree burning scene where Yoda's like, greatest.
don't worry about the equation.
I was trying to remember the quote and do the voice, and I my
the
brain.
The sacred text.
Yeah, it's, right.
You throw the
wrong like,
instructions in the trash.
The greatest teacher failure is, and I, you know, based off of what you guys are talking about right now, it's kind of going in that direction. You know, that like, hey, what we started to do or what we were doing wasn't working. Maybe there's another direction the Jedi or future Force users. At least that's how it felt at the end of 8. And then you get to 9, and it's like, I'm all the Jedi, I'm all the Sith. So I was like,
I guess we're
drawing party lines here. So
I really do like The Last Jedi in the way of its theme. How one of my favorite Luke Skywalker quotes is when he says, even at the height of the power, the Jedi allowed Darth Sidious to grow in the dark side, take over the Republic, and execute Order 66.
Exactly.
And he was like, I'm thinking, exactly. The Jedi, you know, he's talking about the Jedi don't need to be there because they just cause all sorts of problems.
And that's the thing we see throughout 7, 8, and 9 is when, I don't remember the trailer, that kind of this one line that Luke said that shocked everyone is the Jedi must end.
Right.
Not only did the Jedi need to end, but the Sith as well. And we kind of get to see that, like the end of both the Jedi and the Sith and the complete like rebirth of like Force users from that point on. There was definitely a restart button that needed to be hit. And I think that Disney accomplished that. I may not have liked the way that they did that, but they definitely did what needed to be done in that sense, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So back to Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Maul.
Right.
We went off on a trail for a few
minutes. Right. We
went off for a little bit, guys.
Let's focus on Darth Maul. We've talked about Qui-Gon.
We have talked about Qui-Gon a little
so
bit.
So I want to talk about Darth Maul. So we know he's from the Night Sister planet, Dathomir.
Yes.
We see quite a few Sith come from there.
Yeah.
We see Darth Maul, his brother Savage Press, we see in the Clone Wars, and Asajj Ventress.
Underrated character on his brother Savage.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely strong Force user. Also
physically
strong. And that definitely contributed to like when he used the Force. Like if you notice, like when Force users lift larger objects, it's easier if the said character has more muscle mass.
So George Lucas based midichlorians. I know not everyone likes to talk about midichlorians, but they're kind of essential when you're talking about Force.
Yes.
So midichlorians are based off of real world biology of mitochondria.
Yes,
it's the powerhouse of the cell.
Right, we all remember
the one
that
thing I learned from.
Yes,
school, right?
I'm so glad that came in handy.
Right. So we see.
Are you proud to be Norman Smith?
Yeah,
that's right. Mitochondria are what gives you energy and life and all sorts of stuff. Right.
And the midichlorians are the Star Wars equivalent of that.
Right. Except the only difference is the midichlorians talk to the Force. The mitochondria don't talk to the Force because it doesn't exist in our real world.
So sadly, can that be a thing? Where's God at? I need to have a conversation with him.
Right.
Before. Yeah.
So, but mitochondria is more found in athletes. Like let's say Michael Jordan, what sets him physically apart from you and me is his mitochondria count.
Yeah.
He with more training, you can increase your mitochondria count, and that's what gives him all the energy to keep going for a 7-game final series.
And that definitely parallels in the Star Wars universe, too. You just take the same theory and apply it to midichlorians, and then you have your answer. That's why anomalies like Anakin Skywalker are so interesting to see, because their midichlorian count didn't match up to their physical bodies and how much they had trained.
Right, so basically it's saying, like, Anakin Skywalker was born Michael Jordan.
Yeah, they're basically child prodigies. You know, that's kind of the equivalent of in Star Wars of what we see in real life today. Where were we at? I'm so sorry. But he also wielded a double-bladed lightsaber like his brother Darth Maul.
Darth Maul, mitochondria, Savage.
Right, so...
Something like that.
We see Darth Maul come from Dathomir. He's taken by Darth Sidious as a young child. And, you know...
Can I point out that in episode one, halfway through, Darth Plagueis was still alive. So Darth Sidious not only broke the rule of two, Darth Maul an apprentice.
So look at this. Darth Plagueis knew that, but he was a Sith assassin. He wasn't... So you think of it like Darth Vader when he had the Inquisitors. They're not real Sith.
Yeah.
They're just Sith assassins.
The reason, dark side
users, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
The only reason I bring that up, and you do make a solid point that needed to be brought up, the only reason I say that is because Darth Maul was called an apprentice. He was given he was called an apprentice at one point.
So that was after he had killed Plagueis.
What point? I can't remember
behind Plagueis back.
Yeah. I just can't remember at what point in the movie The Phantom Menace that Darth Plagueis was killed. I don't know if we have an exact timeline on that.
I'm not sure about that. Disney,
I would love a clear answer, Disney, if you're listening.
Right. Because a lot of the stuff we see about Darth Plagueis obviously isn't canon, but sadly.
Not yet.
Wink.
Ooh.
Right.
Ooh.
So, Darth Maul, as we see...
We need the Old Republic content.
Yes, sir!
I heard it was delayed.
I would love some.
Yeah.
So, actually, they made it into a book series instead.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So
I can't read.
Read books, kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't let that mind go to waste. Yeah.
But definitely, if you
could end up
like
us.
Yeah. If you get to read some of the comics and the books that they write, even on the new trilogies and the there's so much stuff that's canon within those books that we don't get to see on screen.
Right. Like I was saying last week on the podcast, the Rise of Skywalker novelization.
Exactly.
Everything that most people have wrong with the movie about lacking information
is explained
in the
books. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're definitely worth the read if you don't have to, unlike myself.
Right. So back to Darth Maul. We're getting a little bit off tangent here. But Darth Maul, so once he's picked up by Sidious, we see him go through the Sith assassin training where he grows not only physically but also in the Force. And we see him get taken to Malkor, a Sith homeworld, right?
Mm,
we go there and we see it prominently in Rebels, in the end of season 2, Twilight Apprentice, when there's a big fight there, and you see the ancient battlefield of the Sith and the Jedi, where the ancient weapon was unleashed on both the Sith and Jedi. So all the Sith and Jedi there were turned to ash.
Yeah.
So Sidious has Maul go up and inhale the ash, and he sees flashbacks like a Force echo of all what happened in the battlefield. He'd actually, like, if he sucked in the ash of a Sith, he could feel the Jedi's blade cutting him, and he could feel all the hate for the Jedi.
Which,
and,
correct me if I'm wrong, is a uniquely Sith ability. Like, the Jedi do not have the ability.
Actually, if you've seen both Rey and Cal Kestis from Jedi Fallen Order, both use the Force Echo, where they can touch an object, and they can see its history.
Okay. So the only reason I said that is because I wasn't sure if it was specific to inhaling the ashes of fallen Sith, because
it was more powerful because he sniffed the acid in because he could literally felt.
So that
blades.
Amplified the Force Echo. Okay, so
right.
Force
it
echo
was it was a super Force Echo.
Okay, so that's ability that's shared between the Jedi and the Sith, just done in different manners.
Right. This is like on steroids.
Yeah.
And you see, this is where he gets his hatred for the Jedi. He feels all the hate and emotions from the battle. From the Sith's point of view,
would things here's a brain teaser, and I don't want to answer this right now, but would things be different if Darth Maul could feel the pain of the Jedi that Sith inflicted upon them? Would that have turned the tables on
him? If you think about it, Darth Maul wasn't into the politics either.
No, he wasn't.
So I mean,
but he was very good at politics. You see,
that's true.
You see, like,
yeah.
He learned all his politics from Palpatine. You see him manipulate people. He manipulated a whole war. Just to get one person
on a very impressive scale.
Yeah,
like do not undermine Darth Maul's ability to maneuver within politics.
He somehow got 5 crime families to become one under his leadership and rule the planet of Mandalore.
Exactly,
that was really
in like
cool.
2 weeks.
I think Just a side note here. I think in the final season of Star Wars and Clone Wars, instead of the middle three episodes that, you know, everyone knows that we didn't need and didn't want, I would have loved to see a little bit more on the Siege of Mandalore. I would have loved to see a little bit more.
Especially since we've gotten books with it.
Exactly.
Four.
Well, speaking of seeing more of Darth Maul, back to the first movie. I mean, if we're real, we only really see him twice at two very important points in the movies. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's a time where he attacks Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and the crew on Tatooine. And then he attacks him at the very end, right? The Duel of the Fates. I had this idea the other day. You know, Star Wars Battlefront 2, over, right? Like, there's no more updates to Star Wars Battlefront 2. So naturally, I was like, what if they made a different one and they took you through the entire story of all nine movies, just not Lego? Like Battlefront style over all nine movies. And the idea that I had for Darth Maul was that he was on Naboo when they were first attacking the planet.
Yeah.
He was tracking Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan through the forest and Jar Jar. God bless him.
Jar Jar Binks, the Sith Lord we needed.
Yes, exactly. And he was tracking them, and then Darth Sidious tells him to stop, and then he goes into the city. He's wrecking shop with all these Naboo troops, but Sidious has asked him to keep quiet, kind of, do it stealthily.
Yeah.
So you're playing as Darth Maul. You're, like, killing Naboo troops on Naboo, right? And then Sidious says, Darth Maul, you need to follow them to wherever they're going. So then they go to Tatooine. And then you see Maul. I would love to see Maul kind of try to track Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, but he gets sidetracked and actually finds himself in Jabba's palace, right? So then he battles everybody in Jabba's palace, and then you get to Jango Fett. All right, because in the new canon, I don't think they really flesh out Jango Fett a whole lot. In the old canon, they certainly did. He fights Jango Fett, wins, seriously injures Jango Fett, and then Sidious is like, wait, a Mandalorian here? Wait, we could use that. Send him to Kamino. I've got some plans for this one, and so and then
that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it would. So you at this point you've already seen Maul wreck shop in Naboo. You've seen him wreck shop in Jabba's palace. Then he attacks Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, right? And then I don't know. There was also a moment in the Clone Wars where the conspiracy to kill off the previous Chancellor on the Pike Syndicate planet, whatever its name was.
Yeah,
the Pike Syndicate planet. So they killed the Chancellor, and his attaché was imprisoned. I would love to see Sidious send Maul to that planet, you know, and do all of that.
Disney, take notes. We have ideas.
Yeah, I'm serious. Like, if they just do all, like, we've already seen Maul, like, do shady assassin stuff, like, three times in this, my fictional Star Wars Battlefront. I mean, I would have loved to see all of that. And see more interaction maybe with Count Dooku. Because I think, correct me if I'm
wrong.
One
of the most interesting Sith.
Yeah, he started to fall away from the Jedi Order the same year as the Naboo invasion, right?
Very close to that timeline. Yes.
Yeah. So
well,
I would love to see
that.
Dooku and Maul interact some in that time as well. I don't know, but
yeah.
That's just my thoughts. That's
so
all.
let's recap back to the Duel of Fates here.
So let's talk about the fight. We've talked about both characters, and I feel like we've had some great discussions about that. Let's talk about the fight itself. One thing I love about the fight is when Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and Maul are fighting, they're on the raised platforms. Obi-Wan pump fakes to go hit Maul, and then Qui-Gon comes from the side, and Maul barely blocks it.
Exactly.
My favorite part of the fight where they're working together as a team to try to throw him off guard to do something.
And you can definitely see the chemistry there, because Qui-Gon, you know, he's not even looking.
Right.
Over
Obi-Wan
next
goes,
to him, he just
boom.
Pump fake, and there's an automatic reaction to that.
And he's also Liam Neeson, who can punch your face in the face. So Liam
right.
Neeson,
not looking
Liam
at
Neeson
the face.
Can already do anything. So they just ask him, here's a lightsaber. Do whatever, bro.
Right.
And then Ewan McGregor was like, bet, I'm on board with this. And
cool.
It just made it happen.
I mean,
I've never seen a pump fake.
right.
Man's really sad.
Exactly.
Just
go
kidding.
Back and watch The Phantom Menace.
Threw him a hezzy. No hesitation. I love it. And then you get into the whole fight scene, and, you know, worst comes to worst, Darth Maul loses.
Can we talk about, hold up for a minute, half. Do you remember when, yeah, that's crazy. That's a whole other topic, though.
Right.
We can go on for like an hour about that alone.
Yes.
I just want to go over this one little part in the fight scene, and it's not even the fighting part, actually, believe it or not. Do you remember when those shields, when they're running down the hallway and Obi-Wan is like lagging behind trying to catch up.
Right.
Do you remember when it's the second to last one, if I'm not mistaken,
think so.
Is when Qui-Gon turns off his lightsaber and he sits down to meditate.
Right.
And he just takes a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I think Greg, I think you would, G-Money, I'm so sorry. I think we spoke about this earlier.
Yeah.
I think our theory is that he was force healing.
Yeah, so if you look at it in Jedi Fallen Order, to actually meditate, you actually regain your health in that game. And that game's canon. And we also see it. Rey does it, too. When she meditates, she force heals and stuff.
Right.
So
Baby Yoda does it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Baby Yoda does it. So I think he's, you know, maybe it's not explicitly like this is force healing, but I think that's what he's doing. He's kind of regenerating his energy.
Maybe not be external. It may be internal.
Exactly.
He might be just, like, regenerating, like, his midichlorians, getting some more energy for the fight.
Like, the way that even Yoda meditates. He's thinking about plans. He's thinking about actions. He's thinking about politics. I mean, just in the 2 seconds, you know, if you think about when in the game, what's his name?
Cal?
Yeah, when Cal is going through the echoes, I mean, he's basically meditating. And in an instant in the real world, he's had a whole vision. You know, he's relived some experience. And, you know, that can speak
and
on
In one of the cutscenes of that game, he picks up a guitar strained instrument. Picks up and plays a song that he's never heard and one of the crew members wrote years ago.
Right, exactly. So, I mean,
he was able to play it fluently.
Yeah, it can really entail anything that he was doing externally, internally, spiritually, you know.
And I think, just to go back to that fight real quick, because I know we have to wrap up here just a little bit. But just to bring it back to the fight, I think that definitely speaks towards something we see in the Clone Wars, which is Qui-Gon Jinn mastering Force, not mastering, but near completion. Force manifestation because he was in training right before episode 1, if I'm not mistaken, which he never got to complete, and that's a whole other topic. But I think that's a little bit foreshadowing. If we go back and look on Qui-Gon's part, which is something really cool we get to see in that fight.
Yeah,
definitely heartbroken whenever Qui-Gon Jinn got killed.
Yeah. So one of the last things I want to pull up is for those who this might be a little spoiler if you haven't seen Rebels, but Maul and Obi-Wan's final fight.
Ooh, has to be
so fun. Obi-Wan goes in, it's normal, you know, over his head, pointed at you, lightsaber form. By the last second, he switches to what it was the exact form Qui-Gon uses, where he's
at in
at
the
his
Phantom
side,
Menace. Yes.
Right, he's at Saber's at his side, up by the shoulder. He looks at him, and Maul's thinking.
And if you go back and watch the episode, Maul like takes a minute and just looks at him, and then. I think definitely what was going through Maul's head was, I know it's about to go down. But
right.
If you think about this, Obi-Wan has thought about this for years and was like, this ain't happening. You ain't about to pull what you did on my master to me.
How many stances does Obi-Wan have?
He's only got like two. He's really only has two. He's got his one where he's in front and one above his head.
Right. Yeah.
And so this is unusual for him, and Maul knows it.
Exactly.
Maul spent, you know, years
fighting Obi-Wan.
Yeah, all he can think about is Obi-Wan. Even when Ahsoka Tano in the Clone Wars comes, I was expecting Obi-Wan.
Well, actually, in the episode before they fight, he actually's in the desert of Tatooine
yelling,
Kenobi!
Exactly.
Yeah, a really cool scene there. But the ending of that fight, we definitely get to watch not only Ben or Obi-Wan recreate Qui-Gon's moves, but we get to see Maul recreate his own.
So
he
does the exact same move where if you see when he's fighting Qui-Gon, he pushes him, knocks him off balance, and then when he's off balance, stabs him.
Is when he stabbed Qui-Gon.
But Obi-Wan, instead, when he goes to push with his hilt, he cuts the hilt in half, killing Darth Maul.
Right. Because Maul was ready. Maul was like, not Maul, I'm sorry, Obi-Wan was ready. He was 100% prepared. He was sure that Maul was going to use that move. Once he changed his position to Qui-Gon's,
right,
and that cemented what Maul was going to do.
Right,
that stance.
If Obi-Wan did not recreate Qui-Gon's moves, Darth Maul would have not used what he did against Obi-Wan in that fight.
Well, it's also like, you know, Maul has only fought Qui-Gon this one time.
Yeah,
and
but it was such an important.
So he has no practice against it until he fights Obi-Wan, and he's had years of training with Qui-Gon. But anyways, I mean, this is so cool just to see the Duel of the Fates, man. And definitely an interesting topic that'll definitely reappear.
In some other podcasts that we do. We'll cover some more episodes for sure.
The fight of
and you guys should definitely talk about the crazy amount of flips everybody did.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for this episode.
I hope you guys join us
back next week. I don't know what we'll be talking about next week, but it'll be interesting, so come and join us.
Here, but I get up in here, and it goes into this R2-D2 screen. But I'd be all up in here, you're like, wow!